I want you to look in your Bibles, the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. When you find that, if you'll stand with me, while we'll read the Word of God together this morning. In chapter number 11 and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, let's go back to chapter 11 and pick up at verse number 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to put off reading right there and for this morning. And I ask you to pray for me, if you know how to pray, and pray for the hearts of our church, the people of our church, that God will help and give great light to us, okay? Our Father, we do thank you this morning for the good Sunday school hour that you've given us, for the good song service, for the good fellowship, the good spirit. Lord, we've come now to the preaching time and the preaching of your word. And I need that fresh anointing of God, Lord, that will illuminate my heart and my mind and help me to call to remembrance everything that I've studied. I pray that you'll make it as fresh as it was, Lord, the day that I penned it down in my heart. Then I pray, Lord, that you'll help our people give great light to your children today. Help us to understand the principles that govern faith. We'll thank you for doing that. I'd ask you, Lord, if there's some here lost or by the radio, they've never been saved by the grace of God, that you'd save them today and get glory and honor unto yourself. And we'll thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. Now, as the Lord leads this morning, church, I want to take these three verses of Scripture that I've read in your ears this morning and preach for a little while on a faith that's right. There is a right kind of faith, and there is a wrong kind of faith. I'll probably say more about it on Tuesday night, but there is an intellectual faith that simply touches man's mind, but there is a spiritual faith that not only touches the mind, but it moves the heart of man and the will of man as well to meet God on grounds that that man can get a hold of and be saved by the good grace of God. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And Brother Paul said in the book of 2 Thessalonians that not all men have faith. Now, I realize that there's some of you here, and I say this openly and honestly, and I hope you'll be open and honest too, that at times you struggle with your faith. You simply struggle in your own bosom about the real principles of faith. I believe the reason that is because we as God's children just simply do not have a real hold or a real grip of what true saving faith is really all about. I'll tell you, as long as you have got a superficial or a skin-deep knowledge of the term faith and what it represents, my friend, you'll struggle all the days of your life with the fact of whether you're saved or not, and you'll never amount to a flip for the glory of God until you, by His grace, get that thing, hallelujah, nailed down, that you've been saved by the grace of God. I want to say to you that God is not pleased with you struggling in your bosom about your salvation. God wants you to know that you've been redeemed by the grace of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah to God!
Well, as we look at this, I'll tell you, I don't know in the weeks to come if the Lord will let me. I want to deal with as many of the heroes of faith in chapter number 11 as the Lord will help me. I believe that by their example, you and I can learn how they lived by faith. For he said there that the just shall live by faith. How many times in the Bible is that said, Brother Jerry? How many times does God say that in the Bible? The just shall live by faith. Three times. See, Brother Jerry knows that. He's read it. The just shall live by faith. And I want you to get that nailed down. I want you to know it. Now, in verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 11, we have there the principles that describe what faith really is. I mean, these verses set the stage for chapter number 11. They're the foundation that we must build on. They're the springboard that will launch us out into this chapter and show us great things from God that will help us nail down the fact that we've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Get a big nail too, buddy. Amen. Don't fiddle around with them little old paddling nails. Amen. For you got the little paddling nail, you off a week. I tell you, you need to get more of these logging nails, buddy. Amen. So I say, what is that logging nail? Well, it's grace, and it's blood, and it's love, and it's mercy, and it's justice, and it's the Word of God. I tell you, there's a whole lot of things for a nail. That's right. Nail her down. Now, there's some principles there that describe what faith really is. Notice what he said in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes things which are not to actually subsist and to be present with you and I while we live. Did you get a hold of that now? I want to repeat that. Faith. My friend, faith makes things which are not actually subsist and makes them present with you at all times. He said, for faith is the substance. There it is. There's the subsistence of substance of things hoped for, that is, you've never seen, and the evidence of things that not seen. That's right. Faith gives substance to our hope. That's right. For we are saved by hope. But what is seen is not really hope. For what should we hope for the things that we do see? But as God's children, we hope for the things which we've never looked at. Amen. I have never been to Calvary physically. I've never even been there in the flesh and seen Golgotha, where the Son of God lived and died and paid for our sins. But by faith, brother, by faith, it's hoped for in my soul. That's right. That faith demonstrates things that are not seen. You know what it did to demonstrate? Demonstrates things not seen. I've never seen the faith of Abel. I've never seen the faith of Enoch and Noah and Abraham. But brother, I've seen demonstrations of that through the eye of my own faith. I can read down the heroes of faith in chapter number 11. When I read about Abel, Enoch, Abraham, and Noah, I can say, Amen! Because I've experienced in my heart exactly what these men claimed they experienced when God wrote her down on a piece of paper. That's right. Then look at verse number 2. He said, for it by the elders obtained a good report. Faith not only gives a substance to our hope, but it approves us, or it approves all believers in the eyes of God. It said, by it they received, obtained a good report. I wonder who gave them that good report. Who did they obtain a good report from? Son, I tell you, it wasn't in the eyes of Pharaoh. That's right, it wasn't in the eyes of Dr. Bottlestopper. They obtained a good report in the very eyes of God. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. But they that believe in God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And therefore their faith was approved of God, and it pleased Almighty God. I got news for you, friend. Your faith don't have to please me. Say, you'd quit trying to please every preacher that comes by here. Quit trying to please everybody you hear on WSOF. Quit trying to line up with everything you hear, their experiences. Quit trying to line up with them and try to please God in your life. Fully on what somebody else thinks of me. Honey, I'm more concerned about what Almighty God thinks about me. Well, I don't like the way Hall does things. God said amen to it. Well, Hall's face all lopsided. I mean, doing away with Sunday night services so often. God ain't never said nothing to me bad about it. God ain't never pricked my conscience. Son, I'm not trying to please every Tom, Dick, and Hank comes along. I won't please God. By their faith, they obtained a good report. God looked down when the Red Sea opened and said, amen. And we'll get to the message in a minute. Men, notice in verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds which were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not things which do appear. Now, that faith also makes man understand things which are incredible and unbelievable to sense and reason. Now, did you get a hold of that? Son, faith's an incredible thing. That's why a doctor, PhD, up here at the university, believes that we evolved from a tadpole. Worse than that, come from an amoeba. Amen. And finally that amoeba wallowed around in the mud and became a tadpole. And the tadpole wallowed around in the water and the mud long enough that he sprouted two little legs on his little tail end, jumped up out of the water, run up on the dry ground, began to grow a tail, climbed a tree, swung out of the tree by a tail, landed on the ground, said, "Thank God I'm an educated man." But I'm telling you, faith looks beyond reason. Faith makes things which seem to be incredible come alive and be real. Faith reaches the unbelievable and brings it into grasp, into reason, to the heart of every born-again child of God. Somebody said, you Baptists believe in a catching away. Somebody said, that's stupid. I mean, how can you believe it one of these days? Everybody, people just going to be walking alone and all one. They ain't going to be. And how much more stupid can you get them to believe that people in the graves is going to put their body back on and get up out of the grave? I say amen! 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 That's right. It's going to happen. You better believe it is, Brother Jerry. How can you believe that God would be so simple-minded to ordain salvation through the bloody death of His Son upon the cross for the sins of mankind? That just don't make good sense, that the just to die for the unjust, that the pure for the unpure, the godly for the ungodly, the rich for the poor. Amen. But I say hallelujah. Amen. I believe it by faith. I believe it by faith. Now, that's right. But I want you to hear me well now. There's some things we're going to have to look at, consider, before we move into chapter 11. Our faith didn't begin in chapter 11. There's some things that we're going to have to look at. Some things we're going to have to remember. That's right. Hey, I'm not getting into the meat of the thing about faith till Tuesday night. Amen. But there's some things that we need to remember before we ever cross into chapter 11, verse number 1, church. In fact, and don't fall out with me about this, the Bible is inspired. The chapter divisions are not necessarily inspired. And why chapter 10 was divided from a chapter 11 here, I do not know. But I tell you one thing, you can't separate chapter 10, verse 38 and 39 from chapter 11, verse 1. In fact, there are no separations in the Bible. The chapter divisions are a man-made thing. Are you hearing me? That's right. That's right. And there's some things that transpired in chapter number 10 and the rest of the book of Hebrews. There's some things that we need knowledge of, church, before we go on into chapter 11 and nail down your faith. And I'll just be honest, that's why I'm a preacher. I want you to nail her down. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how, when will I ever become a strong Christian and be able to serve God with Holy Ghost power? I'm going to tell you when. When you've got enough confidence in God that you can be like David in Psalm number 3, buddy, when you can say, hey, I will not be afraid. Though 10,000 surround me round about, I'll lay my head down and sleep. That's right. Amen. He's my shield. I'll lay down and sleep, and God will sustain me. That's right. Amen. I'd hate to be a Pentecostal or a Methodist or an Episcopalian or a Charismatic. Holiness, yeah. Somebody said, Brother Hall, why? I'd bite my fingernails all the time. Right. Worrying about whether I really got it or not. Right. Brother Chris used to be one. I asked him, did he not worry about it all the time? David said, I ain't worried about it. He said, although the devil tried to drag me down to hell, I'm just going to lay my head down on a stone for a pillow and sleep in God.
Yes, amen.
That's right. Amen. Some of y'all chew your fingernails half off. Some things you need to remember.
Amen.
That's right. Some things you need to remember. I want to say number one, remember your profession. Remember your profession. Look at chapter 10, verse number 23. Better than that, let's look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering. Let me ask you something. When? For He is faithful that promised. That's right. Did I tell you what I believe there? Brother Paul wrote down and said, hey, church, hold fast that profession of faith without wavering. And the Holy Ghost said, yes, Paul, write this down too, for He that promised that is faithful. It doesn't depend on your faith, friend. It's on the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. That's right. The Holy Ghost said, I want to put a commentary in right there. I want to write a short commentary. He's faithful. He's not going to drop me out of the wayside. He's not going to desert me halfway home. No, sir, Rebecca made it. Now I'm going to make it. Amen. Moses made it. Somebody said, how do you know? Because I seen him in chapter 17 of Matthew. Moses made it. I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. That's right. Hold fast your profession. Look here. Your profession. He didn't say, now look here. That verse don't say hold fast your profession. Your profession of faith. Them five foolish virgins made a profession. But it wasn't a profession of faith. You know what a profession of faith is? It leads on. It moves on. If you're following faith, you're all right. If your faith's moving you onward, you're all right. Somebody said, I don't understand everything that's happening in my life. I told the Sunday school class, do you think Joseph understood everything? When he went to the pit and went to the prison house, the devil jumped up on his shoulder and said, if this is God, this couldn't be God. You wouldn't be in prison. You wouldn't be in the pit. You wouldn't be in the prison house if this was God. You're going to die here. And old Joseph said, I've had a dream. Woo! I have had a dream, glory to God. And I seen all them other boys bound to me. The devil said, you going to hell. He said, I had a dream. That's right. Acts chapter number 12, Peter lay between four quaternions of soldiers. Supposed to have his head cut off the next day. And Herod's boys come down, or the angel of God come down to get him. And had to kick him and wake him up. I'm sure them soldiers said, tomorrow you're going to die, Peter. And Peter said, that's what you think. Said, Jesus done told me a long time ago I wasn't going to be die with my head cut off. I was going out crucified upside down. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you're off your subject. That's faith. Faith reaches out to things unseen and pulls them into the bosom of man and gives him a hope of glory in his soul. Right. Hold fast your profession of faith. That means to keep it in memory and hold it there. Don't let the devil rob you of it. When the devil comes to rocking, knocking, and my ship seems to be a rocking, I just go back to September the 13th, 1970. And he take me back no further than that, Jerry. Hallelujah to God! Nail her down! Keep it in memory. That's right. Some of y'all need to just testify right hard about the day you got in. Hold fast. Hallelujah! I wouldn't out of breath. I'd take one or two with him. Hold it fast. See, the main theme in that book is steadfastness. Steadfastness. Standing fast in the Lord. That's right. Your profession. Hold that profession fast. And then at the same time, in that profession, look at Hebrews chapter number 4. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. What does he say? Let us hold fast our profession. I just now seen this. Isn't it marvelous there? He said, let us hold fast our profession. And he intensified that in chapter 10. Said, let us hold fast our profession of faith. I just now seen that. God, that's right. That's inspiration, church. How the Holy Ghost intensified your profession. Hold your profession fast, but hey, hold your profession of faith tied in your grips. Don't let the devil rattle your cage and shake your mind. Ain't that what Brother Paul was saying in Thessalonians when he said made this statement? How was it he said it in the book of Thessalonians? When he said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Amen.
or be troubled.
You did right and wrong. Who shook you up?
Hey. Oh, to preach a message on them all shook up.
Hey. Are you shook up and troubled?
That's right. That's what Brother Paul was saying. Hey, hey,
don't be shaken in your mind. Don't let the devil shake you up. Don't let the devil out of you. Don't get worried.
I'll tell you, your salvation is just as secure as God is. Thank you, Brother Jerry. If I had any energy left, I'd join you. You know he is. In verse number 15 of that text, for we have not an high priest, there it is. Hold fast your profession because of our high priest. He said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for he's in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know why you need to hold fast that profession? Because you've got a high priest that can have three things done. He can be touched. He was tempted. And thank God there's a throne. Hallelujah. A throne, a grace that you can come to. Somebody said, hey, you don't understand. You don't understand how my mind is tempted to sin. I've got news for you. You've got a high priest that you can touch who was tempted at every point like you are. I don't understand it, Brother Doug, but he's 100% God and he is 100% man, not 50-50. In the fact that he was God, he could not sin. But in the fact that he was man, he was tempted in all points, just like you and I are, and yet without sin. Miss Ruth, can you put that on paper? That's right. That's why he can be touched. He knows your heart. He knows your heartache. He knows your trouble. He knows your temptation. He knows your trial. And you can touch him. Where, Brother Hall? At the throne of grace. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Them singers said, I spend a lot of time at Calvary. I thank God for Calvary, but I enjoy going to the throne. Woo! I tell you, my Savior ain't on the cross of dead. Hallelujah to God. No, he's a sitting on a throne laid of pure gold in the heavens. Hallelujah to God. Yes, amen. Lord have mercy. Help me, Brother Jerry. Yeah. That's right. That profession, hold it fast. That profession is anchored.
Amen.
Getting tired, Brother Jerry? I am. Hallelujah to God. But I'm telling you what, I might be tired in the flesh, but my spirit still feels pretty good. I'm anchored, brethren. I want to say from henceforth, let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. In my soul, I want to be ready to die with Him. That's right. I didn't say I was. I said I wanted to be. Now, I'm not talking about dying physically. I'm ready to die physically. I'm talking about dying now. Now, look here. Hold fast that profession. You've got a high priest of that profession that can be touched. He was tempted. He's at the throne. But then thirdly, under that, look in chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses, so on and so forth. But look at verse number 6. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we, what church? Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. So there you have the holding, that profession of faith. Hold that profession of faith. You have a high priest in that profession of faith. But you can hope. You've got a hope of rejoicing in that profession of faith. Hey, why do you sit so despondent?
Why do you step so dejected? Why do you live as though you're still living in disgrace? When the God of glory brought you out of disgrace and anchored you in His grace. I believe I can keep up with you, Jerry. Some of them's a little fast for me. Did y'all get what I said? Hope of rejoicing in what? In that profession. Like Brother Rain said this morning, some of y'all ought to be a shouting it out. It's in order today, church. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. Some of you fellas sit out here in the Sunday school hour with God as thick as molasses in here. Honey dripping off the walls. All you had to do was dip your staff like Jonathan. Just dip the end of your spear down in the honeycomb and put it to your mouth. And you sit there with an expression on your face like you didn't know what was going on. And I'm satisfied the reason some of you sat there like that and didn't know what's going on, because you don't know what's going on. That's right. What are you saying, Brother Hall? Hey, I'm saying not a smile. Not a change of expression. God is thick as molasses in here, and you sit like a knot on a log. And the only time you can shout or say amen or get into it's when the whole church has got their eyes on you. I'm going to tell you, friend, you got an ego problem a mile long. The bottom line is you're lost. Now you don't get up and run like Jerry. You don't even have to shout. I'm talking about just a change of expression.
Amen.
Not even muscle a smile. Unto God, I mean, hey, oh, you're just saved. No need to get excited about that. You're just going to live forever as long as God does. Why do you want to smile and get excited about living for an eternity? This grave can't hold this old body down. We're going to rise again. Ain't no power on earth can hold me down. We're going to rise again. Brother Rain said this morning we ought to be a shouting it out. There ought to be joy in the heart of a born again child of God. Hold that profession firm unto the end with rejoicing. Woo! But that may not do nothing for you. But there's victory in Jesus. Right. Church, we've been in need of this. Hallelujah to God. I've been in need of it for a long time. Woo-hoo. I'm getting out of His way, boys. Doesn't cost you, Jerry. Jerome's not going for speed. He's a distance runner. Church, you know you can sit here and laugh like that because you're saved and love God. That's right. Hold that profession. The hope of that profession. There's a hope in it. That's right. The mystery that's been hid from the ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I said the hope of glory.
You sick, huh? You tired? Feeling bad, huh? You ought to be shouting on this one. You get a hold of what I'm getting ready to say.
Yes,
look here. We might fall several times. There's coming a day when this old body, friend, is going to lay down and fall. But if Jesus lifts us up in this life, don't you know He's going to lift? David said, He's a lifter up of my head. About 2 months later, I remember years ago I preached a message up in Appomattox, Virginia, and I flopped. Man, I mean, it was the biggest flop I believe I've ever preached. I walked out of the pulpit like that. Old brother Donnie Glass walked up to me and he said, "Get your head up! Get your head up!" But I'll tell you, I couldn't hardly lift her up. But this morning when I read that verse and these men in Sunday school class was up a shout, and God went. He'll lift you up. There's hope, church. In your profession, there's hope in that profession. That's right. And I want to say, and I've got to try to hurry. We ain't coming back tonight, so we'll be all right. They not only remember that profession, but remember the promises.
Yes, amen.
Look with me in our chapter number 10, verse number 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Amen.
Promises.
Yes.
Remember the promises of God. That's right. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where are the promises? I'm going to say something about this when I preach on Abel. Deeply. But their promises, hey, comes from the Word of God.
Yes.
That's right. They're found in the Word of God. Yes. Look here. And faith gives expectation to the promises. That's what faith does. Faith lays hold of these promises.
Yes.
And causes us to have an expectation of what God is going to do out yonder in the future. So look here. Some of y'all is worried about what God's going to do for you right now. Thank God for the benefits now. But the blessings are in the future. The promises are in the future. That's right. That was Lot's problem. He looked for the temporal blessing of now. Get your eyes up and look. Somebody said, well, I'm sad. Well, join the ranks. So am I. Somebody said, I'm grieved. So am I. Somebody said, I'm worried. So am I. I worry every day about my family. I'm worrying right now about Tammy. I'm worrying right now about Lisa cramping, carrying a baby and cramping. I'm worried. I'm worried about Tammy because I know Tammy's sick again. I'm worried. But look here. Hey, worry and fret under it all. The promises of God are out yonder. And our faith lays hold of the promise out yonder and pulls it into our bosom for strength. Right now. Where'd my runner go? He passed out? God, I thought he passed out. Slain in the spirit. You get slain in the spirit. You just gone. I thought you were slain in the spirit and passed out. Look here. Faith not only gives expectation to the promises, but faith provides communication of God's promises to our heart.
Right.
Let me ask them, who has talked on the telephone since last night? Anybody? Anybody. I don't care. Somebody just raise a hand. Miss Ruth? You talk to somebody on the phone. Did you hear a voice on the other end? Oh. What was it that communicated that voice to you? The telephone, right? Well, wonder what voice it is that communicates God promises to us. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Reaches hold of the promises of God, and faith is that communication line between us and Him. Y'all get a hold of that. I know it is, Brother Doug. That's good. I know it is. Look here. Faith stands hold. Faith lays hold of the Word of God and provides a firm standing ground while we wait on the fulfillment of the promises. Did y'all get a hold of that, or did it shoot right over you? Listen to a scripture text. And these, well, let's just read this verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, 11:13. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They saw them afar off. But faith, church, faith was that firm standing ground while they waited for those promises to be fulfilled in their life. Hey, how do you think? What do you think helped Abraham to stand firm for all those years waiting on Isaac? Faith. God said it. I used to have a little sign, a little magnetic sign. Somebody give me it. Said God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. But God said it. Don't matter whether I believe it or not. It settles. Hey, we had some great. Are you hearing me? Some great and precious promises. And if you lay hold on them by faith, when the devil comes a knocking, your ship starts a rocking. You can say, I've got an anchor. My anchor holds and grips a solid rock. In times like these, we need an anchor. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these. I forgot the words to it. Na, da, 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 da. Be very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Woo! I'm about to go on out. We're getting ready to go home. Hallelujah to God. I see the lights of that city so bright. How do you see them, Brother Hall? I see them by faith. That little F-A-I-T-H, five-letter word, G-R-A-C-E. Five letters in grace, five letters in faith, five's the number of... Amen! Five's the number of grace! That's something. Do you have that kind of faith? That in the midst of trouble, like David had when he wrote chapter 3 of the book of Psalms, when the conspiracy was strong with Absalom, that David said, I just laid me down and went to sleep. That's right. Can I read this for you? You're familiar with chapter number 6 of the book of John, when the Lord gave the discourse on the bread of life, and all those disciples went away from Him and left Him. And in verse 67 of that chapter, then Jesus said unto them, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In verse number 69, He said, and we believe and are sure. Believe it or sure, that is faith laid on hope to the Word of God. I not only believe, Lord, that You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't only believe it, I'm sure. I'm positive. I'm anchored. Are you? Do you believe and are sure? For I'm confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Remember the profession, remember the promises, but then remember the patience. He said in verse number 36, for you have need of patience. Now I want you to look right up here. Faith directs us to things afar off, but patience enables us to wait for it. Now, if you've not gotten anything I've said, and I'll do my best to talk my way through this to you, some of you need to get this desperate. Patience. Your patience. Waiting on God. That patience. Look here. Our faith reaches out and takes hold of something way over here. Don't get shook up if you don't get it right now. But they who patiently endure shall inherit the promises. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at a preacher that believes when you're saved, you're saved, and the promises of God are yea. I believe that with all my heart. But there is a fine line, a life of professors and a life of possessors. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And somewhere down the line, that mere professor, if he's not a professor that possesses, he'll look at those promises and see how can they be. And if he, look here, and if he don't leave God literally, he'll leave him in his heart. Like the Jews departed from God in the heart. That's what it says in the book of Acts about that crowd that died in the wilderness. Said they departed God in their heart. Okay. Look here. Verse number 39, Hebrews 11, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Every one of them that died in faith did not receive the promise of God. What was that promise? He's getting ready to tell us in verse number 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that without us, that they without us should not be perfected. I want everybody to look right up here at me. Oh, no. How can I possibly be saved? You don't know what thought run through my mind yesterday. Oh, you don't understand and realize what my old flesh, what it really wants to do. Yes, I do! Because mine wants the same thing yours does. Do you think that a preacher never has to fight with women in the mind? Do you think a preacher never has to fight with money? Do you think a preacher never has to fight for time to study and pray to try to give you what I have tried to give you in church this morning? Something that will strengthen your life and help you by the grace of God? Do you realize what a struggle it is to sit and weep and cry over your soul and beg God to give me something you need? I don't come to church. Church, our church is well enough off now spiritually that I don't have to come worried about some egg sucker sitting there trying to run me off. I can concentrate on giving you something from the Bible to nourish your soul for God. Do you think that I'm not tempted in the same fashion you are? Now, some of y'all's problem is this. I'm not yet perfect. Do you know what occurred to me the other night? And I believe I told this to you, didn't I, Brother Steve? When Brother Steve came to the house the other night and was fellowshipping and talking about the Bible and some things. And here's what I said. Get a hold of this. There's people in heaven that are not yet perfect. That's what my Scripture says. God having brought, provided, I've written there, it's hard for me to see it, but God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I've got news for you. The Old Testament saints are not yet perfect. Is that right or not? You know why? They've got a body
But it ain't like that glorified body we're going to get at the resurrection. Well, they're in a body. They rose out of the grave. But they ain't perfected yet. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, do you have more scripture for that? I'm glad you asked me. In chapter number 12, verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Here is our expectation, church, of our hope, of our profession. Here is what our faith reaches out and gets hold of in verse number 22 of chapter 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Now get this. And to the spirits of just men.
Amen.
Made perfect.
Right.
Woo!
Yeah,
woo!
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
The spirits of just men.
Amen.
Made perfect. They without us have not been perfected yet, but by patience.
Oh, you got a sinful mind. Amen. Oh, you got sinful flesh. Amen. 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 Amen.
You've got sinful tendencies. Amen. 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 Oh, you've got a whole lot of flaws in your life. Amen. 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 Oh, you're a sinner, yeah, but I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Woo!
Not yet perfect. Don't get anxious about your imperfections. Don't get worried about imperfections in your life. You're not perfected yet.
Now, you ought to strive to be as perfect as you can be. But you've not arrived. Then there's that patience. There's perseverance. Remember to persevere. Perseverance enables us to perform difficult duties. It enables us to endure severe trials. It enables us to obtain important blessings from God.
Yes.
Now, and I've got to say this, and I'm just about ready to close. The power of our faith. Get this. For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That loved me and gave himself for me. There's the power of your faith. It must rest in God. Isn't that what Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:5? 1 Corinthians 2:5. Reading from verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
That's found in 1 Corinthians 2:5. Found in the power of God. There's the power of your faith. Everybody look right up here at me. Church, it's not what you've done, what you can do, or what you will do. But our faith is in what He has already done. Write this down, Miss Ruth.
Woo!
Now, I'm closing with this, and I hate to close on a sour note. There's the principles of faith, profession of faith, the promise of faith, the patience of faith, perseverance of faith, power of faith. But there is a faith that turns to perdition. Brother Paul said this. He said in verse 39 of chapter 10, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
Are you drawing back? Are you letting down? I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, you can't be saved if you draw back. Let down. I read an article this morning. I'm not being smart, Alecky. But I read an article in a paper this morning of a church in our area. That in one of their services, they let their children get up and rap music. Play, you know, just practice little Christian rap. And folks can live in that and go to church. I drove by the First Baptist Church up here the other morning, my wife and I. They had two women out there, had a whole armload of kids out there dragging them around, and the two women wearing short shorts. I wear more to bed at night than they wear out in public. And they claim to love God and be saved. I'm going to tell you what, friend. Somebody's deceived. Terrible. See, our world is eat up with religion. But real, saving faith will not only carry you through, but it will carry you through in the right way. Real faith. Do you have it? Or are you drawing back in your heart, sitting on the church pew? I don't want to get into my message for Tuesday night. Do you know who the first religious hypocrite was? Man by the name of Cain. He worshipped God, but he didn't know Him. I don't say too much about that because that's going to be one of the points I'm going to preach on Tuesday night. I might not have told you that. You might stay home. Faith. A faith that's real. And perseveres with patience until perfection. Let's stand together.